You're listening to Spokespeople.
Well, hey there, podcast listeners. This is Gene.
And this is Zoe.
And we're part of the team that hosts the Spokespeople storytelling events.
This is the podcast of the true stories told live at our monthly storytelling shows in the San Francisco Bay Area.
Well, kind of monthly.
Mostly monthly.
Basically monthly.
Yeah.
The story you're about to hear, told by Sam Hayner, comes from our February show, X's and O's, at the Pickle Jar in San Francisco.
Enjoy it.
Our next storyteller is Sam Hayner. Sam spends his days showing kids how to misuse power tools and how to make music videos. He is most afraid of the House of Prime Rib on Polk Street, doilies, and Lyme disease, in that order.
Hello. Hi, everybody. I'm super excited to be back. And this is a story of similar flavor, but a bit toned down. So I think when my grandmother had my mother 60 years ago, and then when she in turn birthed me, my grandmother took me into her arms and said, maybe someday he'll grow up to be as badass as Thane. But alas, that never happened. I am only wearing deck shirts, and this is not about fighting tigers, so you have to turn your badass radar way down to even empathize with what life is like before you enter the great town of Smoochville. So Smoochville, a great town. I imagine a lot of you guys are citizens. You guys have had one smooch, accidental or not. Go ahead and think back to your first smooch, and did anyone... I'm curious as to, like, the youngest. Did anyone have their first, like, romantic smooch below the age of 7? Raise your hand. Anybody out there? All right, maybe. Borderline. Did anyone have it above the age of 14? All right, great. I'm in good company. Okay. And then it's wonderful. There are people here tonight who are yet to make the immigration to Smoochville. So I'm excited to tell about my immigration to Smoochville. So the scene is 8th grade. We're 14, me and Beth Miner. We went to 8th grade together, and we're mostly friends, and our kiss count both is at 0. And we'll see what happens with that. So we'll have that scoreboard permanently up here. Here's what happens. It's the summertime. I've worked up all of my guts and also my father's, who helped me ask her out. And we are on, we're on our third date. So, like, it's gone pretty horribly so far. But we made it to number 3. And this is the story of my almost first kiss and the story of my first strap-on. So, here we go. We're in Seattle. I live on Queen Anne Hill. The park that we're going to is Discovery Park. The itinerary is set. I also planned it out because planning helps a lot when you're not very good at talking. And so you're like, great, we have a great itinerary. I will rest on that. So we're going to Discovery Park. And at Discovery Park, there's a giant sand bluff. And you could go there. And then at least what I've seen in movies is that people go there. And then it's like romantic. The sun sets. There are boats in the sewage plant. And you go down the sand bluffs, and as you get to the bottom of the sand bluffs, which not a lot of people know about, there's a beautiful coastline that you can go, and I'm going to set up a picnic there. That's as far as I got. I'm a middle school boy. Cut me some slack. So, not knowing still how to prepare food, I went to the Safeway food counter and picked up, like, the whole roasted chicken and some sushi and other Chinese food and, like, some... Or, you know, various things that I thought were healthy, like deep-fried hummus and, you know, different stuff. And so I have all this, and I'm biking over, and it's midsummer. And like the theme of actually, like, a lot of the stories, my pits already start to go. And that's the first indicator that I'm going to be here 14 years later telling the story. So I bike over. We're 14 years old. And I'm not meeting her for another hour. So here is the plan. The plan is I go down the sand bluffs. I go past all the couples who are already entering and currently celebrating their citizenship in Smoochville. And I am jumping down the sand bluffs, and I am going to plant this picnic, which I in no way participated in preparing. And I'm going to put this picnic out on the ocean front, and then I'm going to climb back up the sand dune where I'm going to meet where Beth Miner's mom is going to drop her off. So... By the way, I'm so sorry to anyone who ever had to date a middle school boy or girl. It's horrible. So anyways, we're there, or I'm there, solo, setting up the picnic, laying it out, doing my best to, you know when you do that at dinner parties and you like slide the roasted chicken into like one of your bowls and you're like, maybe I made this. And so, you know, doing that and, it's kind of like, oh yeah, right, there's just a chicken here. And so I've set all that up and it's set. I have about half an hour to go and I have to make it back up the ascendant. When I say back up the ascendant, it's just like a light hill, really. And so set the picnic. And I'm going up and I have had to borrow my dad's shirt because all I own is clothing like this. And so I borrow my dad's one button-up shirt when he's not looking, and it is very large for me, and I'm already profusely sweating, and always being like kind of a large kid. Normally I don't take off my shirt, but I was like, okay, just before we get there, I'm gonna try to preserve the shirt. I'll just take it off, and then I'm gonna try to walk the rest of the way up the sand dunes. And it was then that like the first beginning part started. There were bees, and I ran away from the bees, and then there's just large amounts of stinging nettles there, and there were stinging nettles everywhere, and I was going stinging nettles and almost crying at this point, getting up to where we're just getting to the beginning of our day. So we're up to the beginning, and I put my shirt back on, and I have these like just horrible burns everywhere, and just kind of itching, and like, hi, Beth, I'm here. I'm so excited for a date. And what's great is that Beth actually, in reflection, said like, oh, no, you just look like, you know, everyday normal Sam. Which is a horrible sign. That's the way I normally am. So I was up there, and we met, and we went to the place where you would initially have to get to the sand dunes. And so we're two, I thought it was fifth graders or sixth graders in my memory, but we actually calculated, we were actually in eighth grade at the time. And so that's 14 years ago, half a lifetime ago, that this happened. We're walking along, we get to the sand dunes, and Beth's like, oh, let's go around this way to get down to the beach. I'm like, maybe the sand dunes would be fun. We can get down to that way. And she's like, no, the other way is great. I'm like, we need to go to the sand dunes. She goes, no, the other way. And so we end up actually arguing for a bit, but like really peacefully, because it's just, I'm basically trying to trick her into finding a whole roasted chicken on the beach. And so eventually I'm able to convince her, and we hop down these like very mild sand dunes and get down. And here's part one. What we come upon is like the scene, like I've seen Planet Earth, shallow oceans, and when you see the birds fighting each other, it's beautiful. There are seagulls and crows, and they are battling in marine environments because none of the food is left on land. And Beth, before she went to medical school, she was set to go into the environmental profession, and we come upon this surprise of just amazing wildlife and Safeway food and plastic, and she just says, who would do such a thing? And there are important things in two of my pockets, and in one of them, the back right pocket, is the Safeway receipt, which I am crumpling and trying to hide in with the rest of the trash. And it's funny because even middle school boys, as stupid as they are, well, I mean, incredibly stupid, they will also just like leave all reason behind to pursue food. Overall, food is the ultimate. So it was like, yeah, who would do such? Hey, there's sushi. And I just remember trudging out and going out into the water, and then there's a one floating box of sushi just waiting there. I'm like, ah, and then seagull's like, ah! And comes down and swims, I'm like, ah! And fall down. And that's when the tiger came out. That's not when the tiger came out. It was just a seagull. And so 2 minutes left. Holy crap, I'm slow. Okay, so let me try to jump forward then. Okay, so that disaster happens. We're climbing along the rocks. I'm at this point hobbled from falling over because of seagull attack. I still have all the things, and I feel like Gollum following along Frodo on the rocks. And I have one thing left. I have one trick, and my back right pocket has the Safeway receipt. My front left pocket has maybe the worst idea I've ever had in it. And the best perspective, really, for this is kind of, last time this starred my grandmother, but this time Here's Beth saying what she saw when I reached into my left pocket, told her to turn away. Here we go.
I remember sitting on this rock and probably like awkwardly sitting, kind of sort of maybe touching each other, but not really, looking at the mountains. And you told me that I had to look away. So I remember closing my eyes and looking away, and you did something. And then you're like, okay, now you can look back. And so then I opened my eyes and looked back at you, and you, this is so funny, you had put like a patch of wrapping paper on top of your lips with a bow stuck on it. I have no idea what to do. And going through this state of like complete and total panic.
Okay, so there it was. With a bow on my face, and saying hi, and I'm running out of time. But if you want the full half-hour interview of Beth and I from last night, debriefing this date, it's there. I say, she looks at it, and in her memory, she says, "Can I open it later?" But that is not what happened. She goes, "What is it?" And in incomplete embarrassment, and in her eyes, I can see the mirror of me, and just with that bow, and it's like you can see the Titanic sinking, you can see Hindenburg crashing. And I was like, who would ever do this? Why did I think this was a good idea? And so 14 years later, we were talking about it, and I had to tell her. I was like, Beth, do you remember that horrible idea I had? She's like, oh, which one? And I said, The bow in front of the mouth one. She goes, oh, yeah, yeah. And I was like, you have to know where that came from. So in 1996, Bill Amend, who writes Foxtrot, does anyone here know the comic strip Foxtrot? He wrote a comic that had this. And here are the first three panels. Let's walk through it. Here's Peter right here. He dates Denise. Happy anniversary, Denise. Happy anniversary, Peter. Already, you can tell my reading comprehension is low. They're at an anniversary. They have successfully dated for at least 17 years in high school comic time. I am wanted to get you something really special, but I couldn't afford anything. Like, that part is actually true. I was on a licorice selling budget in my neighborhood. That's okay, taking this walk with me is special. Still, I do have a little gift for you. Oh, what are you doing? And then the fourth panel. Who would have thought? Here is the motivation for a middle schooler. Ta-da! Did you tape your wrapping paper to your lips? So there it is. I shared it with her, and she asked, I'd play the recording, but it's okay. And she said, wow, I wonder if other middle school boys have fallen for this. And there are significant markers of difference. For instance, Denise is visually impaired, which would have helped out tremendously in the only way this couldn't have gone worse. So, sorry, in time, I just want to say, be careful of what you let your children read. You never know what will happen. And don't judge a gift by its wrapping unless it's directly taped to a middle school boy. Thank you. Yeah.
If you liked this story or would like to tell your own story, come to our April 26th show in Berkeley. The theme that night will be Eat Me. Go to our website, spokespeople.org, for more information. That's spokespeople.org. You can also like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.
Podcast audio production by Ian Ratzer at Mercy Park Studios in San Francisco. Podcast coordination by Sarah Bars. Event hosted by Elizabeth Simone. Event coordination by Rebecca Stevater. And event photography by Chris Koster. Music for this podcast was by First You Get the Sugar.
Thanks for listening.
And hope to see you there.